The last day of January was gray and misty, an invitation to some sunny shores, and alas, we had decided not to go to California, where the Winthrop Rockefellers had so generously made their house in Palm Springs available for us. But maybe we'll still go to Florida or Acapulco. I spent the morning on unpacking chores. I had told Lyndon that I wanted to be sure and get in touch with Liz when she arrived and invite them out to dinner, and it was he who suggested that I go to the airport to meet her. So I drove into Austin alone, running into stretches of fog, veils of mist that hung in the valleys or lingered over the hills, and then clear stretches, a familiar sight on this road all the years since 51. I stopped at KTBC, briefly greeted some of the personnel, where a group of them were gathered in the coffee shop, wishing happy birthday to one of our longtime employees. And then Jesse said he would go out to the airport with me. I approached my return to private life, eagerly, curiously, looking for the differences, blandly sure that it will be easy and cozy. Today was an experience. We had a hamburger in the coffee shop, and soon there was a small stream of waitresses and little boys coming up to me asking for autographs. I wrote my name between the bites and then went out to watch from the opposite end that so familiar phenomena of the 1960s, an airport arrival. It is a word added to my vocabulary and evokes just as clear a picture as, say, the word picnic or ball. The occasion was the arrival of the VIPs for the Headliners Club annual celebration. Liz was one of them, and there was a movie star or two and an award winner from the world of journalism. Plane time approached, and all the characters and props took their places. The mayor, Mr. Aiken, and his pretty wife with an armful of yellow roses, Mayor Pro Tem Emma Long, city councilmen and businessmen, a band loudly playing the Eyes of Texas and the Yellow Rose of Texas, a small cluster of photographers, and a yellow carpet being unrolled. This is different. One of the officers from Bergstrom leaned over to tell me that the red one, last used for us on our return home, was being framed and hung in the officers' club. Lots of people spoke to me in a friendly, natural manner, like I had been there every day. But nobody took my picture, and there was certainly no excitement about my presence. I stood on the edge of the crowd under an umbrella. It had begun to rain, with Emma Long. The plane came to a halt. The lady with the yellow roses pressed forward, and so did the photographers. And out stepped a movie star and a few more VIPs, and no Liz. Liz, looking pale, got off the plane last and said it had been dreadful weather from Washington. And when the plane put down in Dallas, Liz had vowed never to set foot on a plane again and had got off in search of an automobile. She would arrive in time for the evening party. Jesse and I left and went to join Mr. Copus, a real estate developer in Austin, and there followed two of the most educational hours in the life of our town that I have had in 5 years. We drove and drove all around the periphery of my well-loved Austin. There are springing up shopping centers, and over hill and valley and pasture lands march rows of new houses. Some of those he took us by were quite good. Streets laid out in a meandering fashion. American elm trees planted at regular intervals on both sides. Mr. Copus is building a house on Warren Woodward's old lot, and I was going to choose the building materials. The lot, now cleared, had great possibilities, a lovely view of the hills and river. I decided old brick, the cedar-shaped shingle roof would be my first choice, and pink Mexican brick next, and the white stone third. I reached the FOB in the late afternoon and tackled a desk with Helene for several quite productive hours. The mail is beautiful. It is a pipeline to the heart of the people of this country, which I have always valued and respected. It is also overpowering. I am staggered to think how we can get it all answered and filed and taken care of. Now the tenor of most of it is, welcome home. We love you. Thank you for these long years of working for us. A great many of them recall experiences through the years with us. Often I remember, sometimes sadly not at all. A About 7, Helene and I went over to the 5th floor, and I changed into my black lace dress, and together we drove to the Westgate, the handsome high-rise apartment building that overlooks the state capitol. We were going to Roy Butler's party for Liz and the other VIPs of the headliner's celebration, our first party back home in Austin. And this, too, was an experience. We found a parking place right in front, I dare say a rare gift from the gods. Going up in the elevator, I knew nearly every face and not a single name. So I just smiled brightly all around and said, I want you all to know Helene Lindo, my secretary. Upstairs, we were engulfed in the loud, gay, confusing aura of a cocktail party. Unfamiliar to me these 5 years past, where nearly all the parties I attend are those that I'm giving. Someone asked me what I was going to do when I got out of the White House, and I said, I'm going to be a guest. Here, it was different, and I did know many of the guests. Mm-hmm. Our hosts, the Roy Butlers, Phil Paul and Dolly Bolton, whom I greeted with a hug, pale, forlorn Floyd Green, the widow of the founder of the headliners, George and Joanne Christian, radiating pleasure in being home, and of course Liz, who was already full of spicy stories about Washington in the last 11 days. It was a sophisticated, impressive room with floor-to-ceiling windows that framed the state capitol below us in a stunning view. I moved around the room, introducing Helene, seeing old friends, and after about 30 minutes, I took my departure, accompanied to the elevator by Walter Cavin, who kept on looking over his shoulder, I think, for my entourage. There was none. Mm-hmm. He seemed a little baffled and said, are you all right? Shall I go to your car with you? I assured him I was right down front, don't bother, mm-hmm. and feeling quite independent and a bit adventurous, I got in the car and headed out into the night for the ranch about 65 miles away. No Jerry, no Woody, all on my own. I am determined, quite desirous of being independent in the small business of day-to-day living. I turned on the radio and went along at a brisk speed, quite cozy really, but I was aware it was night and I was alone. As I approached Johnson City, I called on business service, found that Lyndon was at the Morrisons. He asked me to come by. He'd already had dinner, so I jumped in the pool and had a vigorous swim about 40 lengths, and then joined them around the fireplace in their bedroom. Mary Ellen brought me a plate of fried chicken, and the day ended on a pleasant, low-key, comfortable note.